all that you've done, God, in this pastor's conference. We thank you for God, Dr. Fuller, and all those who've played a part in this, all the pastors that are poured into many this week. We pray for them. God, I come asking you to speak through me so that your people might hear you and not me. In Jesus' name, this is our prayer. We all said together, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise if y'all don't mind. Certainly, we thank God for Dr. Fuller. I appreciate the invitation. I thank you, sir, for being so kind. Already, I know him now to be a consistent friend. Every Sunday, he sends out a message, and I look forward to it. Every Sunday, he sends out a message of encouragement, and I thank you for that, sir. Let's thank God for him and his family one more time. Thank you, sir, for being so awesome. Thank you for your grace and your generosity. I certainly thank God for my mentors and my friends who are here tonight. Mark Duke, Rick Barnhart, they've been so instrumental in the life of our church and in my life personally. And I thank God for the both of you for being so awesome and being so kind as to drive up here to be a part of this with us. And then to all the pastors who have been preaching this week, you guys have poured out so much, and I thank God for you. I pray that God will restore you 100-fold for what you've given. Amen. Let's thank God for everything that has transpired again on tonight. I got to be honest, I was sitting there tonight, and they said that this, you have to bring the fire in the pulpit, and the preacher who comes before me brought so much fire, I almost felt like fire starter, I got to be honest. And this brother preached an amazing word. We thank God for you. Will y'all do me a favor, and I won't hold you long. I know it's Friday night, and many of you are ready to go home. Amen. Y'all didn't say amen. I get it. All right. But will y'all do me a favor? Will y'all just help me out? Please help me out. I'm going to ask you, please, everybody just lean to your right. Just one time, just lean to your right. All right. Now, everybody just lean to your left. Amen. Now, one more time, lean to your right. Amen. Now, lean to your left. Amen. Thank y'all. I did that because I wanted to make sure that nobody could leave it tonight and say the preacher didn't move me. I wanted to go ahead and get that out the way. I did that on purpose. Amen. And so as I was praying about what it is that God would have me share, y'all got to excuse me. Yeah. And so as I was praying about what God would have me share, I really was seeking God faithfully about what he would have me share with you guys on tonight. There's a word in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And pray with me as I prepare to preach. Amen. But in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, there's something that God wants to say to his church on tonight. Amen. If you got it, I pray that you would stand for the reverence of God's word. As I read a few verses, amen. And it says, in the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took even him, and as he was in the ship, there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. Do y'all see it? And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, cast thou not that we perish. Do y'all see it? Master, cast thou not that we perish. I want you to look to somebody beside you and say, let's go to the other side. Say, let's go to the other side. You can take your seat. Let's go to the other side. There's a story of a father who had a six-year-old daughter. This father was taking this little girl to a train station. The father would take his six-year-old daughter to this train station, give her a promise that he was going to meet her at her destination. The father would board the little girl upon the train. The little girl would take her seat in the back of the train as instructed by her father. He told her before they got on the train that he was going to take her somewhere. And as the train began to leave the station, to begin to ride away from the station, the train began to go up and down and around.
sudden, unbeknownst to them, train began to malfunction. And out of nowhere, the train began to spiral out of control. Do you see them there as they're riding on this train? Up and down and around and around, the train was going down the tracks. People got up and began to scream at the top of their lungs, thinking that they were about to die. Many of them were running. The adults were screaming. Many of them were screaming for their life. And then one man looked around and noticed that the little girl was sitting on the train, quiet, tranquil, and serene. The man decided that he would go over to her because he wanted to know how was it that she could sit so still knowing that the train was about to crash. The man went over to the little girl and said, "Little girl, don't you see that we're dying? How is it that you're able to sit so quiet when the train is about to crash? How is it that you're able to sit so quiet when your life is about to leave? It's inevitable. You are about to die, and how you're so quiet?" The little girl looks up in a small voice and said, "Well, before we got on this train, my daddy told me that he was going to take me somewhere. So before we got on, my daddy gave me his word. And so, yes, I see the train spiraling out of control, but I'm standing on the promise that my daddy gave me, that when we make it to the other side, he's going to take me somewhere." Will y'all help me preach it tonight? I want you all to go with me and board this train called life. Are y'all ready? All aboard, up and down. Life can take you around and around. I want to suggest to you that, brothers and sisters, just as sure as we're born, life has its ups, but life also has its downs. And I thought about this before I came, because whenever you think about the gospel ministry, many times we have no issue with ministry as long as it's up. But how do you deal with ministry when ministry is on a downward spiral? I know that you like to believe that every day is going to be peaches and cream, but I got news for you. It doesn't work that way. Life is filled with swift transitions. One minute you can be up, and the next minute you can be down. I ask myself, how do you navigate life when you're dealing with those down moments? And I know that even as preachers, we'd like to suggest that we always have good days, but can I be honest? That's not always the truth. As one person said, sometimes it can be painful being a visionary, because visionaries see where God is going to take them, but sometimes they wake up to where it is. And what do you do when what you were expecting is not what you're experiencing? Can I preach it here? How do you navigate life when it doesn't look like anything you thought it would look like? One of the most blessed times in my ministry, as I was sitting there one day, I heard a preacher talk about how they had passed out all these cards expecting to have a 500 number turnout, and only to get there that night and five showed up. Said he stood there that night with tears in his eyes, because he thought that he would have 500, but he only had five. And God spoke to him in that moment and said, "If you can't preach to the five like you can preach to 500, then you're not ready for the 500. Can I preach?" And so I always say that sometimes to know where a person is, you got to go to where they are. And I invite you here to the pages of the Gospel of Mark, where Mark takes us inside of a turbulent situation. If y'all don't mind, allow yourself to go there. I think that any effective ministry, any effective preacher must go to the scene so that you can feel what they're going through, so that you can hear what they're living. I think in order to understand what's happening in the text, you got to go there with them. Will y'all go with me? The waters are beating. The wind is blowing. The way is blurred, and the master is sleeping. Can I preach here? The waters are beating. The wind is blowing. The way is blurred, and the master is sleeping. So much so that grown men are crying out, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Have you ever wanted to ask the question, "God, do you care about what I'm going through?" Am I the only one that knows that you can be anointed and still be aggravated? That you can be favored and still be frustrated? That you can be saved but sometimes still struggle? Master! Carest thou not that we're dying? And I know that many preachers in this room tonight, you've often asked that question. God, here I am trying to serve you, give you everything that I have. Cast down not that they're not supporting. Cast down not that we don't have the funds. Cast down not that I'm losing my family, and sometimes I feel like I'm losing my mind. Have you ever asked the question? Master, and see, I'm one, right? Lamar, I'm a realist, right? I ask myself, because growing up, they always told me, if you do good, good will follow you. But then I got to ask the question, Dr. Fuller, because they're in the middle of a storm, and they didn't get there because they did wrong. Can I help y'all here? They're not here because they committed treason. They're not here because they robbed a bank. They're not here because they touched a child. They're here because the master said, let us go over to the other side. And I ask myself, how is it that an omnipotent God, an all-powerful God, omnipresent God, who can be everywhere at the same time, omniscient God, omniscient means that he's all-knowing, not know that he was sending them in the middle of a storm. Do y'all see them there? Here they are getting ready to get in the boat, not understanding that he sent them out into a storm. And I think about the gospel message, and I think about the preaching of the gospel. As the man said the night the preacher before me, he talked about the world that we're living in. No doubt that many of us want to preach and think that it's going to come without effort, come without struggle. But can I tell y'all this? He sent us out into a world that's filled with turbulence. Can I help y'all here? We live in one of the most uneasy political seasons that you've ever seen. Nowadays, it seems that people have forgotten that it's not about a donkey or an elephant, but it's really about the lamb. But it seems that we've forgotten. When people are turning away from God, but yet he tells us, go over. And I ask myself, Lord, how do you send me out when you know the winds are turbulent? And he gives us three things, and I'm going to take my seat. Number one, he says, the reason why I send you out is because I want you to take me at my word. Notice what he says. Let us go over to the other side. Can I preach here? Whenever he says, let us go over, you can rest assured that in spite of what's in front of you, God is going to see you through. Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. God wants to see that sometimes. I ask myself, Dr. Bonhart, why is it that the master is sleeping? And then I thought about it. I went back to my earlier years when I was a young boy. I never forget sitting in the classroom. Whenever the teacher got ready to give a test, they were always silent. Come here. Because they had given us instruction all the time before the test came. So sometimes the teacher is silent to see, can you regurgitate what he's been teaching you the whole time? And what he's saying is to some of us that sometimes when life is hitting you, I want to see what you remember to count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have its perfect work, so that when you are complete, you should be lacking nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men and upbraideth not. But when you ask, you got to ask in faith, because if you don't ask in faith, you're like a wave tossed and turned. Can I preach it off in here? He says, when you ask, you got to make sure that you do it in faith, for a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let not that man think that he should receive anything. I wanted to see what you remember to count it all joy. Can I preach it off in here? That weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I wanted to see what you remember to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your pathway. I wish y'all had helped me preach.
The Lord is not, it's my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the sea of waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear not. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, it comforts me. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup. Surely. I wish y'all had helped me preach. He says, I want to see, can you remember to take me at my word? And that's what I'm saying, preachers. Regardless of what's going on, we got to be able to take him at his word. Even when ministry is not pretty, you got to take him at his word. Even when people are leaving, you got to take him at his word. Even when the money is not there, you got to take him. Because God knows how to take a little bit and make a whole lot. I felt that thing in my spirit. I really did. Because God does some of his best work when all we have is a little. Y'all don't believe that, do me? In the beginning, the Bible says, was the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and God took nothing and made something out of it. Okay, y'all still don't believe me, do you? It was in the Gospel of Matthew that they were in the wilderness, and all they had was two fish and five red lobster biscuits. And Jesus said, what do you have? And they said, we have nothing here. He said, give it to me. They looked around like, no, Lord, we are a broke mega church. In fact, it's hard out here for pimps and preachers. But he said, give it to me. Give it to me. And every time he tore off one fish head, up popped another one. Because that's the kind of God we serve. You got to take him at his word. But then here's the part that messed me up. He said, not only must you take him at his word, but sometimes he's asleep, or sometimes it seems that he's asleep because he wants to see would you trust him in spite of the wind and the waves. Come here. Can we go there? Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow, and they awake him and said, Master, cast down not that we perish. Oh, yeah. You got to go there. And see, at first, Dr. Fuller, this didn't make sense to me until I thought about my life last year when my kids wanted to go to Florida, okay? He said, Daddy, we want to go ride the water rides. And I said, okay. Y'all sure y'all want to go ride the water rides? Yeah, we want to go ride the water rides. And I said, okay, well, we'll go ride the water rides. And then we got to Florida. And when we got down to Florida, they were so excited about getting on the water ride. And so we got inside the gate, and we began to walk. The pool was only about 3 foot tall, and both my youngest are taller than the water is. And so we got inside, but they couldn't enjoy the water because they were too busy looking at what was going on around them. That was a little wind that was blowing to the right, a little water that was blowing to the left, and they couldn't enjoy the water because they were too busy thinking about what was going on around them. You see, sometimes as preachers, the reason why we can't enjoy ministry because we get too busy looking around us. We look at what's going on in this church. Look at what's going on over here. Looking at the new church plant down the street that's getting members and ours are decreasing. Looking at what's going on in somebody else's ministry. And sometimes you can't enjoy the water because you're too busy looking around. So I decided that I was going to help them. I said, well, you know what? We paid money for y'all to get in here. We're here because y'all wanted to be here. And so I got down in the water, and I grabbed my youngest, both of them in both arms, and here they were still screaming. And I looked at him and I said, listen, I'm your daddy. Do you think that I'm going to let anything happen to you when I got you in my hand? Don't worry about what's going on around you. Just enjoy the ride. And trust that if I got you in my hand, that I'm going to keep you out of trouble. And that's a word for somebody. Sometimes when ministry gets tough, you got to know that God still has you in his hand. No matter what happens in life, God has us in his hands. And that allows me to sleep better at night sometimes when things are not looking the way you want them to look, Pastor, when it seems the world is turning away from him and you're doing the best you can to pray for a community that you love, you got to know that God has you in his hands. When it's your family that's under attack, you got to know that God has you in his hands. Before you give up on God, you got to know that he has you in his hands. Will y'all do me a favor? Encourage your neighbor and say, God has you in his hands. Just look at somebody and say, God has you in his hands. Trust him in spite of the winds and wind the waves. And lastly, here's the part that gets me. And typically in our churches, when Jesus gets up and he wipes the stuff out of his eyes and he says, peace be still, we shout. We gone at that point. It's over, right? Because everybody's happy. Because everybody wants peace. You know, the peace that Paul talks about, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses our understanding should keep and rule your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And he goes on a step further, and he says, brother, whatever so things are lovely, whatever so things are honest, whatever so things are just, whatever so things of good report, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. That's peace he talks about. But the part that gets me, that when Jesus gets up and says, peace be still, he looks around and he says, why are y'all so fearful? At this point, he's been with them for 3 chapters. You see? Y'all have seen me heal people. You seen me open blinded eyes. You seen me get rid of some demons, and you still scared of a little water? So fearful. But then, because sometimes you'll think that you're going through stuff and you're going through it by yourself. But see, if y'all don't mind, if you go back a few verses before, it says, and there were also other little ships. So sometimes what blesses me is when I meet pastors who can identify with my struggle. That's why you got to be real. See, you get to a point where it's not even about fluffing numbers anymore. Because here we'll sit around the table and we'll talk about how many folks you got, Doc. How many you running? Oh, we running about 100, probably more like 50, you know, but that's holding us up. And then truthfully, the real question should be, it's not about how many you running, it should be how many you sending. Because it's really not about how many we see, it's about how many we send. Because what ends up happening is many of our churches become salt shaker churches. Well, we have a lot of folks, and we're not missionary. We should change our name to stationary, because some of us ain't doing nothing. But what messed me up, right, is that Jesus gets up. He says, peace be still. The wind stops. But then you find out that what they went through had purpose. Because often we start reading at verse 37. But there's a chapter 5 that says, and they came over. Now when they got over, there was a man that was in the graveyard. Can we talk? Who had been naked, who had been cutting himself, and who was in death. When you think about the reason why Jesus came, he didn't just come for the living. Oh, y'all ain't helping me here. He came for the dead. That means that what they went through, was setting them up to get to him. I say sometimes your greatest misery can become your greatest ministry. The thing that you go through, the thing that causes you the most pain, is the thing that could be setting you up for God to use you the greatest. You know, it's what Charles Spurgeon says. He says that sometimes God gets his best soldiers out of the highlands of affliction. That means that out of affliction, God could use me mightily. And they get over there, and here's a man who's fighting for his life. And you realize that I didn't go through it for myself. I went through it to get to somebody else. And pastors, must not we ever forget that the reason why we're here is because we're not here for cars, clothes, cribs, and creature comforts. We're not here because we want to be celebrities. We're here because there's somebody who needs to hear about a dead, buried, and resurrected Savior in his name. It's Jesus Christ. And I close by saying this. One night, there was a father who had sat down with his son at the dinner table. Sat down at the dinner table. The father had a picture of the world. He took that picture and he tore it into shreds. Told the son, he said, "Son, I will give you $20 if you can put the world back together again." Took it and he tore it into shreds. Told the son, "I'll give you $20 if you can put this world back together again." Father leaves out the room, comes back in. Son has put the world back together. And the father said, "Son, how were you able to put that world back together again?" And the son said, "Well, Daddy, what you didn't know was that on the backside of the picture was a man. He had head. He had a head, he had arms, he had legs, and he had a neck. And I knew that if I could put him back together, I could put the world back together again." And I want to suggest to you that that's our business. Sin has caused the world to be ripped into shreds. And we're here on a rescue mission to help put broken men back together again. And how do we put them back together again? It won't be with our degrees. You can have more degrees than a thermometer. It won't be with our money. Because money, that's just some stuff money can't buy. Money can buy your house, but it can't buy your home. Can I help y'all here? Yes, some stuff money can't buy. But what they need is the gospel. It's the power of the gospel that changes lives. And here's my prayer, that if you're here tonight and you've been at a point where you've been in a storm, trying to do ministry, trying to continue forward, and you're not seeing what you would want to see, don't quit. For there's still men who are broken everywhere. The county where we live, there are about 400,000. We're being told that 200 plus thousand don't go to church anywhere. They're broken men. They're broken men that were just like my father, who had, with my childhood age being 9, who committed suicide. They're broken men. They're broken men everywhere, women alike. And all they need to hear is the gospel of Jesus Christ and somebody who will be honest and open enough to not be fake, but be real. And let them know that I was just like you. And if God could do it for me, God can do the same thing for you. Will y'all give God a hand clap of praise for what he's able to do? And so, God, we thank you for your awesomeness. Please stand. God, we thank you for your awesomeness. There are men and women around this room who have put out a lot of force. They worked so hard, God, to see their ministries be as such that they are. Sometimes, God, it is discouraging. I think about the number of people who are in this room tonight who prayed for people who mistreated them. I think about the number of people who have struggling relationships, who have struggling finances, who give to everybody and they themselves struggle. I think about the number of pastors, oh God, who pour out to everybody to make everybody else smile and feel happy, but they themselves are sad. I come praying for them tonight, God, that you would touch in a mighty special way. Revive us again, oh God, that we might realize, God, that even in our weakest moments, you too had weak moments, but you didn't let it stop you. You finished the race. And here's my prayer, that we will finish strong. We started out with you. And God, I pray that it would end the same. And when it's all said and done, let us be like the Apostle Paul, be able to say, "I finished, I fought the good fight. I finished my course. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." But not only for me, but to everybody else, oh God, who labors in the vineyard, just like myself. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Good job. Good job. Lamar, thank you. Lamar's the one that suggested Brother Jarman to me for this event. And I am so thankful, after praying and calling on him, he did that. Brother Don, would you please try to make your way this way? Again, God bless you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being a part of it. Now, next year we'll begin January the 28th through the 31st. We've got four classes we'll be offering: apologetics, sermon presentation, church polity, church policy, as well as a class for those teachers who teach Bible study. Even pastors could get into this too, called effective teaching. Those will be the four courses we'll be offering next year in the pastor school, and we want you to be a part of it. We've already got some great preachers lined up. It's already looking good, and I am just already excited about it. So God bless you. Brother Don Evans has been doing our class on expository preaching, and he has made a huge impact on some lives this week. Amen. And he made an impact on mine years ago, and I want you to come and lead us in prayer as we close out.
Join me as we pray. Father, our hearts are feeling things that our mouth can't express. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for who you're making us to become through your Holy Spirit and through the ministries that we've been blessed to be a part of in these past days. I pray that that seed that has been planted in our hearts might now grow to full fruition, to your praise, to your honor, and to your glory. In Jesus' name.